You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's racing on this edition. Sam Norris and Ollie Pimlott in the studio to guide you through the action at Leopardstown and Doncaster. We're also racing over obstacles at Kelso, and we've got action on the flat on the fibre stand at Suddle on Thursday. There's also a meeting over at Limerick as well. The best of the action can be heard on Racing Radio from 11:35 a.m. with Alex Dunn, Tom Morley and Chris Pimlott in the studio. But first things first, how are you, Oliver?
Very well, Sam. It's a pleasure to be back in this very cold studio with you.
Yes, the heating's not been on over Christmas. Yeah. Hasn't been switched back on since we've returned.
Because we're the only people left in the building, Sam.
Yeah,
aren't we?
Exactly.
The only people sad enough to be working over the festive period.
Indeed, everyone else is at home in the warmth.
Yeah,
we're in
the
here.
Fire watching a bit of racing.
Yeah,
indeed. Having a port and a brandy. I see you've lost your Christmas jumper, Sam. You went two days with it on, but back to the old tried and tested.
I see you've gone for a very similar number to the one I was wearing.
Knitted
yesterday.
Number.
Yeah. Very nice, Oliver. Enjoyed
cable
the racing
knit
over the festive
word.
Period. Yeah, cable knit indeed. Have you enjoyed the racing over the festive period?
It's been fairly average on it. No, it's been fantastic. I'd say Boxing Day was, never known a day with so many thrills and spills. You had Andrew Thornton bringing up his 1,000, then the race after, of course, the Void race at Wincanton.
That was bizarre. I don't think I've ever seen a race where none of them finished.
No, I remember the McCoy remounting race, but.
Right, yeah.
Obviously, they banned that. And I've never seen a race like that. Before, and I don't think I'll ever see a race like that again. But the big action came at Kempton, and we had a potential champion hurdle contender in Yanworth. I don't think he beat a great deal, given that my tent or yours was ridden to rough up the new one a little bit.
Right.
A different riding style for the second colours of JP McManus on that occasion. They roughed up the new one, and Yanworth, who needed a stern test, well, a stiff. 2 miles,
yes.
Didn't he? They went a good gallop the whole way and just set the race up for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think he's a good chance in a champion hurdle because there's question marks about a lot at the top of the market. Fourheen could be a world hurdle bound because he's won over 3 miles before. And Annie Power, there's still a few question marks over her
soundness,
well-being.
I suppose, yeah.
So, yeah, he's got a good chance thinking. And if you're back in Yanworth in the champion hurdle, at least you know he's going to turn up.
Yeah, he certainly looks the best of British, doesn't he, Ollie?
Yeah.
Whether or not he can serve it up to the Irish contingent remains to be seen. The King George as well, mightily impressive performance from Thistlecrack. Obviously, we knew connections were very keen to send him to the King George. Colin Tizard wasn't always as enthused before the race, but he'll certainly think it was a good idea now. Led home a very impressive 1-2 for the yard.
Yeah, unbelievable, really, wasn't it? Mm. I think that's the best horse race performance I've ever seen
really?
In my life. Because you've got, you know, horses who, maybe he didn't run quite up to his best cue card, but, you know, mid-160 horses who tried to rough him up, they tried to take him on, and he just batted them away, didn't he, without even coming off the bridle. I mean, what a performance it was. I know he's even money for the Timico Gold Cup. I would never be betting even money anti-post.
Four to five now. Ollie. The even
suppose,
money came under pressure yesterday.
Yeah, and that's probably come on the back of Outlander.
Yes.
Winning the Lexus Chase because, to be fair, I don't think Outlander would be top of many lists to win the Gold Cup. In fact, let's have a look to see what price he is, Outlander, for the Gold Cup. I don't even think we've quoted him, have we?
Not even have inserted him into the market.
Not inserted him.
We're only about 5 minutes after the Lexus Chase, but even when he does go in, Ollie, you don't even really expect to see him a shorter price than Jackadam, who's beaten comfortably into third.
And Jackadam ran a bizarre race because he looked beaten, then he's run on again for third, and Don Slowly's ran his race again, hasn't he?
He has, yeah.
He was always up in the front end. Obviously, he ran a stinker on his stable debut, but ran a belter today to just deny John Boy Walton a 20-1 winner in the Naps table.
Absolutely. But, yeah, as you say, for all it was an exciting finish, the Lexus Chase. I don't think we've seen the Gold Cup winner there. You would have almost been more enthused about the Gold Cup had Jackadam
or Valsalido
won it. Yeah,
Valsalido had a Ryanair all over him for me. He travelled very much like the best horse in the race. 2 mile, five and a bit furlong should be his ideal trip, I think.
Yeah, it could be good to see him possibly bumping heads with Q Card there as well, because Ryanair's obviously been mooted for him, a race that he's won before, over a slightly shorter trip.
And they've took on Thistlecrack and probably think, well, we can't beat him maybe now.
Yeah.
But having said that, they've still got, the owners maybe think, well, we were going so well in the Gold Cup last year.
Yeah.
Is there a bit of history to rewrite there? But that remains to be seen. I think Thistlecrack, you know, 4 to 5, probably end up 4, well, it depends who turns up, Sam, but, you know, 4 to 5, on. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes off a lot shorter than 4 to 5 on the day. So for an anti-post poke, I think he's very short at that.
Yeah, it's very difficult to want to get involved anti-post at that kind of price. Just get up the prices for the Ryanair. Q Card 5 to 1, Under So 5 to 1, 6 to 1 Duvan, may well go a different route. Room Room Mag, who we'll come on to in a second, Ollie, also 6 to 1, and 8 to 1 for Valsolido. So
I'd be interested in the Valsolido bet. Yeah, 8 to 1.
Yeah, I think I would too. Let's touch on Room Room Mag, who won the Leopardstown Christmas Hurdle today. She never seems to have a set in stone campaign. She's so versatile, Ollie. She just seems to go where the yards slot her in. 3 miles, 2 miles, hurdles,
I think
chases.
She could go mare's hurdle, Sam.
Yeah.
That would be my inkling. Quite, well, I say easy. It looks a penalty kick, really, for her.
It will be,
and then they've got either Aintree or most likely Punchestown as another target. So she could go not half-cooked, but leave a little bit to work with for a spring campaign, I think.
Yep.
So if she was mine, obviously she's not, but I think they might be inclined to go down the mare's hurdle route, because that looks a real hot race now, the Ryanair, doesn't it?
Yeah, so, absolutely.
You know, an easier assignment at Cheltenham, then they can go on to probably bigger and better things at either Punchestown or Aintree.
Would you have Forheen in the stayers hurdle and Annie Power in the champion if they were all yours?
Yeah, I would think so. Proven over. I know she's been second in a world hurdle, Annie Power, but I think her best trip is probably 2 mile or the intermediate trip of the mare. So,
yeah,
Forheen is proven over the distance. And again, that world hurdle is going to be arguably an easier race than the champion hurdle, given that Forheen, we all know, has got some training problems.
Yeah.
Might be a better starting point for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And Room Room Mag, she could place in almost anything, over fences, over timber, 3 miles, 2 miles.
It'd be a joy to own, wouldn't
it? Yeah, I actually think
she's not a monkey now, but as soon as she hits the front, she just puts her ears back and pretty much pulls up. You saw her again.
Idles, yeah.
She's idling. She did it on the first start this season, and she certainly did it again today, because Ruby was loath to hit the front too soon, and when he did, she's idled.
Yeah.
Very badly in front, so I wouldn't say she's a monkey, but she's learned a bit about the game.
And that could explain her defeat in the Hatton's Grace, of course. She was sitting so far back off Apples Jay, and everyone sort of thought Ruby should have had her a lot closer, but maybe it is a sort of
reluctance to take it. Yeah, I think she's probably just idled a little bit.
Fair enough. We'll leave it there, then we'll move on to take a look at some of Thursday's racing. It's the fourth day of the Winter Festival at Leopardstown. Two more exciting Grade 1s to come on their card. We begin with the 155, the Neville Hotel's Novices Chase, a Grade 1 event over 3 miles, 10 runners lining up for this. As you'd imagine, Giggingstown have a strong hand. Willie Mullins has a strong hand, much like all the top races in Ireland. What do you make of these novices, Ollie?
Well, Coney Island was well fancied, wasn't he, when he won last time? And a lot of them are back against him today. Coney Island, of course, he beat Annabelle Fly by 3/4 of a length last time out. And the likes of Atois Phil reoppose here. It's going to be interesting how we bet this. I would have thought Coney Island would be favourite, with Alfa de Zorbo as the second fav. But I'm going to go a little bit off-piste with two bigger prices. I would have thought them to be bigger prices on the day. Briar Hill, who ran over an adequate trip first time up at Navan last month. I think now he's going back up in trip. We all know he stays 3 miles. He'll be a different proposition, and he was reported to have needed that run on that occasion. And I'm going to go with the top horse quoted, horse number one, Atois Phil. He went off a real strong favourite for the race that Coney Island won on his last start, ran no sort of race, finished last 6 of 7. But Brian Cooper got off that day and said he just didn't feel the same horse as he was the first two starts. Keith Donoghue rides for Gordon Elliott, Brian Cooper switches to Alfa de Zorbo, but I wouldn't be surprised if Atois Phil bounced back to the form he showed on his first two starts over fences this season. So I'm going to take two against the field in Briar Hill, back up in trip, and Atois Phil, who was disappointing last time, but his first two starts this season, if you can forgive him that, I think he'll be right in the mix. But a cracking race to savour the Grade 1 Neville Hotel's Novice Chase, and I think just the top of the market, Coney Island, and Alfa de Zorbo, they might be too well found, a little bit too short for me. So two against the field, Atois Phil and Briar Hill.
Okay, a couple to think about there for Ollie in the 155. We stay at Leopardstown for their 230 race. This is a Grade 1 Ryanair hurdle. 2 miles the trip this time. Just the five runners lining up for it, including last year's winner, Nichols Canyon. William Mullins has won this for the last four seasons. Obviously won it 3 times in a row with Hurricane Fly. Small but select field here, Ollie. What did you make of it?
Yeah, small but select field. I think it's Nichols Canyon to lose, if I'm honest. Was really impressive in the Morgiana hurdle on his return at Punchestown last month. Of course, he won the race last year, Nichols Canyon, beating Identity Thief by a comfortable 2 lengths. Got a Jigginstown horse reopposing here, used to be with Mullins, of course, and that comes in the form of Petit Mouchoir. Real good horse, Petit Mouchoir. But, you know, having won at Thurles on a third start last season, a maiden hurdle, you know, she was banging her head against the wall. She was second at Aintree behind Bouvardet at a huge price, 40-1, eighth behind Altior in the Supreme when quietly fancied, but not quite as good this season, with third behind Rasheen. Fell when travelling okay in the fighting fifth, but for me has got an awful lot to find with Nichols Canyon. Runs off level weights here, and yet on official ratings is rated £11 higher, 151 Petit Mouchoir, Nichols Canyon, 162. And for me, Nichols Canyon is just a horse who people find a way of knocking, Sam.
Right.
You know, he's small and diminutive, but he's a prolific winner, this lad. I mean, you only have to go back to his look at his season last year. Beat Forheen, of course, in the Morgiana. Yep. Beat Identity Thief in the Ryanair hurdle at Leopardstown. That was, of course, this race last year. Was second in the Irish champion, third being the Irish champion behind Forheen. Third in a champion hurdle. Third in the grade one at Aintree. And then was third behind Ronak, when probably over the top. Won very easily in the Morgiana on his first start this season. Now, for Mark at 162, 8-1, I think he's a very fair price. Hard to see the likes of Jill's Girl, Ivanovich Gorbatov, who of course was a good juvenile last season, and Footpad getting involved. I think it's between the front two in the market. I would very much be in the Nichols Canyon camp. And I think at 8-11, he's a very fair price.
OK, Nichols Canyon then. A strong choice for Ali in the 230 at Leopardstown. We go to matters a little bit closer to home now, starting with the 205 at Doncaster. This is their feature race of the day. A listed mare's chase here. 2.5 miles is the trip. 9 runners assembled at the time of recording, and plenty bring winning form into the race, Ali.
Yeah, they do. Briary Bell made it 2 from 2 of the fences at Warwick, and there's still a little bit more to come, you would argue, with Briary Bell. Is a course and distance winner as well, and we've already seen Henry Daly have another winner at a huge price, 40-1 today, Sam. So a team in excellent form. But the one I'm going to go with here is Kalane. Amy Murphy, who used to be with Luca Kamani, has made a real quick start to her training career. Very impressive in a handicap chase here recently. So course and distance form. When a well-backed 5-2 favourite, Jack Quinlan, was on board that day, and it just absolutely screamed a mare going places. Won by 17 lengths on that occasion by 2 real good yardsticks in Always on the Run and Shadows Lengthen, who've been there and done that. Shadows Lengthen's got real good course and distance form at Doncaster. But the way she absolutely destroyed them last time, Kalane hinted at a good deal more to come off a mark of 140. I know this is more competitive, Sam, but in-form mare who just seemed to have turned over a completely new leaf with a win last time. Amy Murphy, a young trainer, going places in her first season. I think Kalane, there's a good deal more to come for her, and she'll be a strong selection in the 205 at Doncaster.
Kalane the choice then. Amy Murphy and Jack Quinlan teaming up with that one. The final race on today's podcast then comes in the shape of the 240 at Doncaster, a handicap hurdle this time. 3 miles is the trip. 9 runners. What do you make of these stayers, Ollie?
Yeah, this is an interesting race, isn't it, this handicap? The favourite is probably going to be Amy Dubois, the top weight off a mark of 137 for Graham McPherson and Keelan Woods. I'm going to look elsewhere, though, Sam, at a bigger price. Of course, beat Desert Cry at Haydock. That was in a handicap hurdle and lost absolutely nothing in defeat when behind Holston. That was a grade two at Cheltenham. But I'm going to take one who, if he was turning up here off a handicap mark of 132 a couple of seasons ago, you'd have laughed at me. Moved trainers. And the one I'm talking about is Truston Times, previously with Tim Easterby. If you go back a couple of seasons, he was racing off a mark of 150, Sam, over hurdles. Dropped to a mark of 132 for a very much informed trainer. Three winners over 2 days at Wetherby for Mark Walford. First run for him on this occasion. Jake Greenall was on board all three of those winners, so he's a jockey who's in form. And if he can rediscover anything like the form of his lesser years, even go back to last season, he was running off a mark of 1.47 at one point. They've dropped him since his last run when he was pulled up behind Wayward Prince at Aintree. A mark of 1.38, now down to 1.32 for his first start for Mark Walford. He'd be outsider of field perhaps here, Trusting Times, but for a very much informed trainer, they've found quite a nice opening off a mark of 1.32, absolutely thrown in on all form. So, got to respect the chances of Amy Dubois, who ran well in graded company last time, but Trusting Times, the old boy, 10-year-old now, going to be turning 11 at the end of the week, but I'm hoping he can rediscover a bit of that old zigger for the very much informed Mark Walford and Jake Greenall. So the 2.40 at Doncaster, my selection is Trusting Times.
Trusting Times then, the choice for Ollie in the 2.40 at Doncaster. Thank you very much for that, Ollie. If you could just give us a quick recap of your four selections for both sides of the Irish Sea on Thursday.
And a 1.55 at Leopardstown, I fancy two against the field. I'm going with Briar Hill and Atois Phil. A 2.30 at Leopardstown, strongly fancy the favourite Nichols Canyon. 2.05 at Doncaster, I go with Kalane, and in the 2.40 at Doncaster, should be a big price, Trusting Times.
Thank you very much, Ollie. You can listen to all of the racing from 11.35am on Thursday morning on William Hill's Racing Radio. Enjoy the action and best of luck, Oliver.
Thank you very much, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.